Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 23 October, 2025, 3rd John.
All right, before we get started, first of all, we have a birthday today. Cliff Abbott down here, it's his birthday today now. There's going to be a race between Cliff and me. I've already decided he'll win the gold. I'll get the silver, but we're going to have, it's going to be, and you're all invited to see that race. It'll knock your socks off. Yeah. So happy birthday, and it's a great privilege every time I come up here that you're here in the auditorium. That's fantastic. Thank you. That is a tribute to God's grace and God's power, and you're just getting started. You're going to keep on keeping on. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to 3 John. 3 John. We spent the first 8 verses looking at one of the great winner believers at that time, and that was Gaius. And he was just a layman in the church, but the Apostle John absolutely loved Gaius. That was the first 8 verses. Now the next 3, we meet the fellow who is the chairman of the board of the local church. The next 3 verses, and the warning is, do not walk in the paths of Diotrephes. That's not the way you want to go. You want to walk in the path of Gaius. So in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And before we get into the epistle, an update of the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. Rich Blair has been there conducting the Heaven Special. And the update says, the Las Ventanas Heaven Special lesson on Wednesday, October 22nd, went very well with the regular group of ladies. After the ladies sang along to How Great Thou Art, we listened to Pastor Olson teach the second half of Lesson 22, continuing in the first half of Revelation chapter 19, which takes place in heaven during the tribulation. The pastor explained how the wedding of Christ to the church in heaven is a place of intensified and unspeakable happiness, as well as a time of giving glory to Christ. To God be the glory as he continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. And as always, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. All right, 3 John, verse 9. And we've exegeted verse 9. It sounds like this. I have written something, a doctrinal letter, to the church, the local church. But Diotrephes, the one who loves to be first in authority among them, that is, among the congregation, does not accept our authority. Diotrephes does not accept the authority, that is, does not accept what the Apostle John teaches or any sound doctrinal teacher teaches. So, we have a major issue here. As much as the Apostle John loved Gaius, he has to give a very stern warning to Diotrephes. And this warning is, you better wake up, Diotrephes, and listen to what is presented here. If you do not, I will be coming there to that church, and if I come there, I will brace you in front of the entire congregation, and then I'll throw you out. So you better listen to this warning. This is a stern, stern warning from the Apostle John to Diotrephes. Now, Diotrephes has a lot of serious failures. In this verse, he has the failure of no authority orientation. He is guilty of authority arrogance. He has rejected the spiritual authority of God's faithful communicators. Diotrephes is the current chairman of the board of the local church, but he has totally refused to have the Apostle John's letter taught in the local church. Now, Diotrephes has manifested three very serious spiritual failures. Now, you have to understand, we all fail. We all sin. The greatest of believers fail and sin, but the winner believers know what to do. Rebound! Rebound! Acknowledge your sins to God. Get back into fellowship with God. The filling of the Spirit, the spiritual life. And then fulfill the mandates that God has given us all these mandates. These are commands. They're mandates. They aren't options. Their mandates to live the spiritual life and glorify God to the maximum in the church age. And the winner believer rebounds, gets back into fellowship, filled with the Spirit, and fulfills those mandates given to him. But so far, Diotrephes has not. And Diotrephes has manifested three very serious spiritual failures. Spiritual failure number one, he has no humility. A total lack of the basic virtue of the spiritual life. The foundational virtue of the spiritual life is humility. And if you don't have that foundational virtue, you will never have the rest of the virtues of Christ. Never. Impossible. First, you have to have the foundation, and the foundation is the basic virtue of humility. The second spiritual failure is the lack of authority orientation. And the third spiritual failure is his living his life in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. And the Apostle John taught all about that. And we'll be looking at some of those passages as well when we get to that third failure. So, first of all, Diotrephes had absolutely no humility. The basic virtue, the foundational virtue of the spiritual life is humility. You have to have that. And yet here he is, the leader, the head of the board of deacons. He is leading the church. He has to be number one in authority. And he is now the one who is in authority in this local church. So we've stopped to take a look at what the Word of God has to say about this foundational virtue of humility. Now you all have to know this. Most of you do, and that's great. That has to come first before you will ever have the other virtues of Christ. So we studied the first two points of humility last time. Point one was introduction, and we noted that humility is freedom from pride and arrogance. And therefore, humility cannot and does not exist in Satan's cosmic system. Because that cosmic system made up by the ruler of this world is made up of cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance, and cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. Humility is the first thing to go when you get out of fellowship and start living in Satan's cosmic system. Humility includes two categories, enforced humility and genuine humility, plus objectivity and teachability. And therefore, humility is an absolute prerequisite for learning the Word of God. Enforced humility is submission to legitimate authority. Genuine humility is the virtue of complete grace orientation and authority orientation as a result of maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. And that brought us to point two, meaning and definition. Humility, or being humble, in the unique spiritual life of the church age is first and foremost recognition of the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's first and foremost with humility. Humility, or being humble, in the unique spiritual life of the church age is recognition of the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ and submitting to that authority. Since the Bible is the mind of Christ, submission to the authority of our Lord is tantamount to consistent and faithful perception, metabolization, and application of Bible doctrine. We submit by our daily intake of the Word of God. If we become neglectful of Bible doctrine, we are in a state of rebellion. And who are we rebelling against? We are rebelling against the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through consistent perception, metabolization, application of Bible doctrine, arrogance is brought low or humbled. On the other hand, the filling of the Spirit, grace orientation, personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, and occupation with Christ, they are lifted up to the highest level. In biblical humility, the independence of human power and ability is reduced to zero, so that the dependence on the power and ability of God are increased to the maximum through God's grace. There is no substitute for humility in the spiritual life. Humility includes objectivity and teachability. And arrogant believers are unteachable. Arrogant believers are unteachable, and they never grow up spiritually. Humility is an expression of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God, circulating in the stream of consciousness of your heart. It is understanding your own helplessness and appreciating what God, in His grace and power, can do. Humility is objectively evaluating your own life in the light of what the Word of God teaches. Humility is the unique spiritual life of the church age in recognition of the authority of God. James 4:10 gives this command, this mandate: humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humility is a synonym for being honorable and living your life by the royal family honor code. Humility is a system of divine viewpoint thinking related to grace orientation and occupation with Christ as a problem-solving device in the unique spiritual life of the church age. And this means humility is a system of recognizing the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ as the ruler of the church, and that He has delegated all authority in the church age to the Word of God and to the pastor-teacher as God's delegated authority to teach the Word of God. Humility results in the believer living in the directive will of God rather than the permissive will of God. Well, we studied that in the first 2 points, and that brings us to point three. Point three, humility is a system of thinking, a system of thinking, and a way of life. Humility is a system of thinking and a way of life. All right? Subpoint one. As a system of thinking, humility is freedom from arrogance related to Christian degeneracy and Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. It's a system of thinking. Humility is freedom from arrogance related to Christian degeneracy and Satan's cosmic system. Humility is a system of thinking before it becomes a way of life. So first of all, it's a system of thinking, and then it becomes a way of life. Humility is comfortable. It is relaxed system of thinking. It is not thinking in terms of inferiority, For we are all royal family of God from the baptism of the Spirit. We all have equal privilege and equal opportunity, wiping out any human distinction. Humility is a system of thinking that reaches its peak at spiritual maturity. Humility as a system of thinking, Bible doctrine, becomes then a way of life. As a system of thinking, humility is freedom from arrogance in any form. Now, there are many hidden forms of arrogance of which we are unaware, but humility protects us. Humility protects us from all of them. So again, point one, as a system of thinking, humility is freedom from arrogance related to Christian degeneracy and Satan's cosmic system. Two, subpoint two, as a way of life, humility is the virtue of grace orientation and occupation with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a way of life, humility is the virtue of grace orientation and occupation with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Humility is both submission to the Word of God and capacity for life and love and happiness. As a way of life, humility includes recognition and submission to legitimate authority in life. Subpoint three. Now, what humility is not? Humility must never be defined in terms of legalism, self-effacement. You know, there's some people, you know, kind of shuffle their feet and go, oh, shuck, twert nothing, you know. Like they're very humble. That's not humility. You can be very dogmatic and function in perfect humility. So it's not self-effacement, not legalism, not asceticism, not subjective arrogance, not self-righteous arrogance. Four, humility is not any form of sincerity. Sincerity is not a virtue. You can be sincerely wrong. So sincerity is never a virtue. A lot of fundies are sincerely wrong, but they're wrong. And that's not a virtue. Five, all forms of asceticism are related to most subtle forms of arrogance. All forms of asceticism are related to most subtle forms of arrogance. And those people think they're very humble. A lot of fundies think they're very humble. They're not. They're very arrogant. Six, humility is a Christian virtue, not a form of arrogant hypocrisy. Humility is a Christian virtue and not a form of arrogant hypocrisy. Seven, humility is freedom from pride and arrogance. Freedom from pride and arrogance. Eight, humility is a status of honor and integrity. Honor and integrity. When you have put on the uniform of honor in your soul and live your life by the Royal Family Honor Code, it's because you have a fantastic foundation of humility. Humility is a status of honor and integrity. Nine, no believer can have honor or integrity in his life without the virtue of humility. No believer can have honor or integrity in his life without the virtue of humility. Proverbs 11, verse 2 says, when arrogance comes, then comes dishonor. But with the humble is wisdom. Did you get a picture? You didn't get a picture? Oh. Well, we'll keep it here and better get a picture before you leave. You probably want to put this in your bedroom, you know. The word for wisdom in Hebrew is chokmah. And you say, well, that's a comma, that's an A. No, that's a comma, it's a tuf. And that's a no. Chokmah. That's the Hebrew word for wisdom. When arrogance comes, then comes dishonor. But with the humble is wisdom, chokmah. When you have humility, you're going to have metabolized doctrine in your heart. You're going to, under grace perspicacity, you're going to hear the Word of God, learn the Word of God, and then once it's in your mind, that's just a hearer of the Word. That's stage three of grace perspicacity. At that point, you're just a hearer of the Word. You're not a doer of the Word till you believe it. And then when you believe it, God the Holy Spirit puts it in the cardia, in the heart, and now you have metabolized doctrine in the heart. That's wisdom. That's wisdom that then through the filling of the Spirit you can apply skillfully and accurately to your life. So we have this fantastic system of grace perspicacity, the pastor teacher teaches the Word of God eisegetically, categorically, exegetically. He teaches the logos of the Word of God. And then God the Holy Spirit in stage two takes that communication by the pastor and teaches it to your human spirit. It becomes pneumatica, spiritual phenomena. That goes down the pipeline into the noose or the mind, stage three. And at that point, you are a hearer of the Word. That's all. A hearer of the Word. You comprehend it. Pastor Olson, I know what you're teaching. And then some of you will say, Pastor Olson, I think you're full of poop. And I don't believe it. Well, fine. You're just a hearer of the Word. The only way you can ever grow up spiritually is to be a doer of the Word, and that's through faith in the Word of God. And when you believe it, it metabolizes, goes into the heart, and that's the only time that through the filling of the Spirit you can apply God's Word skillfully and accurately to your life. So that's grace perspicacity. Four stages. So when arrogance comes, then comes dishonor. But with the humble is wisdom. And the principle is the only basis for having wisdom in life is through humility. That has to be there first. If you don't have the foundation of humility, you will never have wisdom in your heart. You're too damn arrogant. Proverbs 29:23. A person's arrogance will bring him low, but a spirit of humility will attain honor. 10. Humility is a mental attitude directed toward legitimate authority in life. Humility is a mental attitude directed toward legitimate authority in life. 11, humility is teachability. It's teachability. And turn over to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. And here is the human author of Psalm 25 is David, a very teachable believer. Most of the Psalms, the human author is David. He is a winner believer. He totally understands humility, and David has the most phenomenal humility. So in Psalm 25, David writes, good and righteous, and the word good is tov, intrinsically good and righteous is the Lord. And therefore, he teaches sinners in his ways. He guides the humble, those with humility, in what is right. And he teaches the humble his way. He teaches those with humility. They're teachable his way. Well, David was very, very teachable. He totally understood this principle. No believer who is arrogant can ever learn the absolute truth of God's word. You will distort it every way possible. Without humility, there's no teachability. Teachability demands enforced and genuine humility. No one has the ability to learn, no matter how great his IQ, his human IQ is. Now, I don't know what your human IQ is. I don't want to know what your human IQ is. I've had people here who are very impressed with their IQ and their children's IQ and so on and so forth. But your human IQ doesn't mean a diddle. It's your spiritual IQ that counts, not your human IQ. But no one has the ability to learn, no matter how great his human IQ is, unless he also possesses humility. A great human IQ can only distort or refuse to learn the Word of God without humility. However, with humility, humility is what keeps the person with a high human IQ in a teachable state. So 12. Teachability then recognizes two things. First of all, recognizes the authority of the teacher. And secondly, the content of the message. Teachability recognizes two things, the authority of the teacher and the content of the message. And therefore, the authority of the Word of God as the thinking of Jesus Christ. The Word of God is the mind of Christ. 13, humility is the most relaxing thing that we will ever have in our life. Humility is the most relaxing thing that we will ever have in our life. It produces a happiness that begins on earth and continues into eternity. So Diotrephes' first very serious spiritual failure was that he did not have the foundational virtue of the spiritual life. Diotrephes had no enforced humility, and he had no genuine humility. And therefore, Diotrephes was not teachable. He refused, he rejected the teaching of the apostle John. He thought he knew more than the apostle John did, and refused to have this doctrinal letter taught in the local church. No way. So, again, 3 John verse 9 says, I have written something, a doctrinal letter to the church, the local church, but Diotrephes, the one who loves to be first in authority among them, that is in the local church, does not accept our authority, doesn't accept what John teaches, the Apostle John teaches, or any sound communicator of the Word of God teaches. That's the first serious spiritual failure. Now the second very serious spiritual failure of Diotrephes was that he had no authority orientation. The second very serious spiritual failure of Diotrephes was that he had no authority orientation. So spiritual failure number two, Diotrephes had absolutely no authority orientation. So let's take a look at exactly what the Word of God has to say about authority. Point one is the role of human volition in accepting authority. Now, God created man, and when he created man, one of the things he put in you was a volition. And that was so that you could resolve the angelic conflict. You can make decisions that resolve the angelic conflict. You are free to believe in Jesus Christ. You have the volition to have the freedom to believe in Christ. You have the freedom to say no and reject Jesus Christ. And when any one person believes in Christ, it resolves the angelic conflict that when God created man, he created man to resolve the angelic conflict. And then, after salvation, you have a volition. You're free to believe the Word of God, the mind of Christ, the voice of the Spirit, and you're free to say no and reject it. So the role here of human volition in accepting authority. Subpoint one, response to authority is the function of your free will. God has given us all a free will. Response to authority is the function of your free will, your human volition. The acceptability of authority in this life is totally dependent on your free will, your human volition. Two, human freedom provides the option of accepting or rejecting authority in life. Diotrephes used his free will to reject the spiritual authority of an apostle. Now, there are no apostles today. Highest spiritual authority today is the pastor-teacher in the post-canon period of the church age. In the pre-canon period of the church age, apostles were the greatest authority. And John was an apostle. Diotrephes rejected the authority of the apostle John. Human freedom provides the option of accepting or rejecting authority in life, both legitimate authority or illegitimate authority. Sad to say, in the time in which we live today, many people in this country adhere to and accept illegitimate authority. While God has delegated legitimate authority in life, These authorities are absolutely useless if human volition does not accept them. While God has delegated legitimate authority in life, these authorities are absolutely useless if human volition does not accept them. 3. All legitimate authority in life is delegated by God in the absolute truth of the Word of God, the aletheia. The Word of God is aletheia, absolute truth. Sanctify them by means of the truth, aletheia. Thy Word is absolute truth, declared Jesus Christ. All legitimate authority in life is delegated by God in the absolute truth of the Word of God. 4. All illegitimate authority in life is based on the function of man's arrogance in Satan's cosmic system. All illegitimate authority in life is based on the function of man's arrogance in Satan's cosmic system. Now, we have in our sin nature a lust pattern. And one of the most powerful lusts in the lust patterns of our sin nature is power lust. Power lust is one of the strongest and one of the motivating factors of arrogance and rejection of authority. And Diotrephes has great power lust. That's verse 9. So power lust and your lust patterns of your sin nature is one of the motivating factors of arrogance and rejection of authority. And Diotrephes has great power lust. He's living his life by the lust patterns of his sin nature, power lust. 5. Arrogance results from the rejection of legitimate authority in life. When you reject legitimate authority in life, you're arrogant. You're totally out of line. Arrogance results from the rejection of legitimate authority in life. And when you reject legitimate authority in life, such arrogance is the source of evil. Rejection of legitimate authority in life causes people to degenerate, either morally or immorally. For example, a marriage. You have a husband and a wife. Who is the authority? The husband is the authority in the marriage. He is not to abuse his authority. He is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. He is to love her with impersonal love for all, virtue love. And when the husband does that, that's the best thing that could ever happen for the wife. But the wife is to be subordinate to the authority of her husband. Submit to the authority of her husband. Her husband's authority is 100% for the husband, 0% for the wife. There you go. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Wife Day, I guess would be better. So, for example, the wife who rejects the authority of her husband becomes uncontrollable in society. I want you to listen to this now. The most awful, now we're going to look at legitimate authority, parents and children. Parents and children. And God has given mandates all throughout for the children to obey your parents in everything. Obey your parents. the most awful and awesome mistake people make is the rejection of the authority of their parents. Most awful and awesome mistake people make is the rejection of the authority of their parents. Your attitude toward their authority determines whether you ever grow up or not. Predominant rejection of the authority of parents, which is going on all throughout our nation today, destroys the nation. That destroys the nation. The rejection of the authority of legitimate government is destructive. The rejection of the authority of teachers and coaches is very detrimental. Rejection of all the above authorities means you have the potential of becoming a criminal. It means you will reject the authority of the police officer, the judge on the bench, or management in business. Such a miserable person makes all those in his periphery miserable as well. Rejection of authority does carry responsibility and results in a life of misery, unhappiness, and disaster. Sixth, while God has delegated authority in life to such legitimate categories as government, husbands, parents, teachers, coaches, public officers, judges, and management, this authority is totally useless apart from human consent. While God has delegated authority in life to such legitimate categories as government, husbands, parents, teachers, coaches, public officers, judges, and management, this authority is totally useless apart from human consent. Now, it's true, and it happens from time to time, you can be bullied into accepting authority, but that does no good in the long run, because what makes authority work is your free will, human consent. Where rational human beings understand the importance of the principle of authority, regardless of whether you like the person or not. That's not the issue. It is the principle of authority. So, seven. Let's illustrate this. For example, the husband has legitimate authority over his wife. The husband has legitimate authority over his wife, but his authority is useless unless his wife, from her own free will, recognizes and accepts it. For example, the husband has legitimate authority over his wife, but his authority is useless unless his wife, from her own free will, recognizes and accepts it. Now, this is why God has made it very clear. Lord Jesus Christ invented marriage, divine institution of marriage. There's nothing wrong with the divine institution of marriage. And God has also set mandates for both the husband and the wife. And for the husband, the key is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And to love your wife as Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. In other words, with maximum impersonal love for the world when we were at our worst. Jesus Christ loved us, went to the cross, paid the penalty for our sins when we were at our worst. Now, husbands, there's going to be times, maybe once or twice in 50 years, when your wife will be at her worst. Well, there might be 100 or might be 1,000 times she's at her worst. But you're to love her with impersonal love for all. You love her with impersonal love for all. You love her when she's at her worst. Now, wives, mandate for you too, to be subordinate to the authority of your husbands in everything. And that takes humility, and that takes impersonal love for all. The most important thing for a husband and a wife is for both of them to have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. And the husband will love the wife when she's at her worst with impersonal love for all. The wife will love the husband when he's at his worst with impersonal love for all. And she will be subordinate to his authority in everything. And when you have that, you have a happy and successful marriage. Now, divorce used to be a commonplace with unbelievers in our country. Now divorce is commonplace with Christians in our country. Why? No spiritual life. No spiritual life. No virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. No attainment of spiritual maturity. That's the problem. And as a result, Christians are outdoing unbelievers in divorcing. Because they, well, as Christians, you ought to know the difference. You ought to, but the Christians don't give a damn about God or Bible doctrine, or they don't care about if there's a sound Bible teaching church or not. A lot of them are looking for a friendly church. There's no such thing as a friendly church. I'll just give you that right. You're looking for a friendly church? Well, go find one. There is no such thing as a friendly church. And so what? So like you come in and they go all over you. Dear brother, sister, you, oh, yeah. The question isn't, do they talk to you or they show you a lot of attention? The question is, do they teach you the Word of God? That's the issue. You need to find a church where the sound doctrinal teaching, not somebody saying, oh, you're such a sweet believer. Oh, great to see you and shake your hand and pat you on the head and tell you how wonderful you are and great you are. See? There's no such thing as a friendly church, and you're not going to do anything in a friendly church except crash and burn. What you need is a pastor prepared who is teaching sound Bible doctrine day after day after day after day. That's what you need to find. So we got that issue. But God has set up the whole principle of success and happiness in marriage, and its mandates to the husband and mandates to the wife. And the key is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advancing to maturity, fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. When you have that, well, you will have a happy and successful marriage. Problem is, very, very few marriages of Christians have virtue, love brought to completion in their heart. That's the issue. Without virtue, love brought to completion in her heart, without the wife having impersonal love for all, the woman reacts and resents the authority of the man and therefore becomes an uncontrollable woman. So again, point 7, for example, the husband has legitimate authority over his wife, but his authority is totally useless unless his wife, from her own free will, recognizes and accepts it. 8. Now let's take an example of parents. While parents have authority in the home, this authority is totally useless apart from training and discipline, which eventuates in the child accepting the parent's authority. While parents have authority in the home, this authority is useless apart from training and discipline, which eventuates in the child accepting the parent's authority. When children are young, they must recognize the authority of their parents. And if they do, they will develop love and respect for their parents later on. But if you reject the authority of your parents, you will be a misfit in society. You never really grow up until you accept authority. And then 9. Legitimate government has authority over its citizenry. Legitimate government has authority over its citizenry, but that authority is useless apart from human consent. Now, human consent is expressed in this country by voting for someone you think will do a great job. The important factor is the consent of the governed. Apart from human consent, you wind up with revolution, civil war, violence, terrorism, assassination, crime, dictatorship, slavery, and other functions of evil. The biggest thing that keeps you from growing up is your rejection of authority, your lack of consent to submit to legitimate authority. All right. Well, we're just getting warmed up here. But we'll stop at this point and pick it up at this point next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.